Good morning and welcome to episode 54 of Coffee with the Coder. Thank you so much for those of you who are dialing in at 10:10. The next episode is in 2 weeks, as usual. And good morning, Paula.
Good morning, good morning. I just talked right up to the second.
You did. I did not give the codes to the insiders, but I know who you are. So over to the Facebook page. You want me to tell it anyway?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and do it now so that those folks who are not dialing in as insiders, they know. Well, actually, don't do the code. Yeah, they'll have to go over there, the insiders.
Yeah, but insiders can get it for $30. It's the webinar coming up, the replay on January the 10th. It's $225 because it's an hour and a half. But insiders can get it for $30. And if you're not sure how to prove that you're an insider, you can email me because I know who you are. I've been watching this little board here. And also, if you're just calling in and you don't know anything about insiders, you don't care about insiders, but you can still get a huge discount on this webinar and get it for only $40 because you listen to Coffee with the Coder, and that code is CWTC, which stands for Coffee with the Coder, CWTC40. That code will get you the $185 or whatever it is off of the webinar so that it only costs $40. So let me make sure to get that in right quick before we get started.
Yeah. And the Revenue Warriors get that for free. The Revenue Warriors and subscribers to AQIQ, get that for free.
Absolutely. So, and I know who Revenue Warriors are too. So if you log in, if you sign up, you don't have to log in. If you sign up for this presentation and you are a Revenue Warrior or your organization is a subscriber, then you just don't get a bill. You just get put in. And if you don't meet one of those conditions, then you'll get a bill, and you'll decide, I'm going to come, and you'll pay it, or you'll decide, I'm going to wait. But either way, you're going to have the billing piece taken care of before the 10th when we start the webinar. So are we ready to get started on episode 54?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go. Happy New Year to everybody, by the way.
Yeah, Happy New Year. This has been an amazing year, 2018. I hope 2019 is even better. This first question is coming from an inpatient rehab, and Patty is talking about the IRF pie, so I know that's inpatient rehab. She says, does tetralogy of Fallot qualify as PVD under the QI criteria for, I think that says 10900 on the IRF pie? And so she's given the code for tetralogy of Fallot, which is Q21.3.
Yeah, that's tetralogy of Fallot. So you gotta
I don't know how to say those words. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So the question was, on the IRF pie, that we have to fill out those quality indicators where we're identifying the fact that, PVD exists in the patient. The interesting thing is that tetralogy of Fallot is a heart condition, not a peripheral vascular condition. So the interesting thing about the question is that, when you start to study tetralogy of Fallot, it can, cause the patient to look blue because there's not enough oxygen in the blood. The condition is a congenital condition, and it does affect the entire vascular system, but not from the same cause as the PVD. Some of the symptoms may mirror PVD, but the two conditions are different. So no, it would not be listed in its I0900 section on the IRF pie. So thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Now I've got another one. This is fabulous. I know pretty much all of us who dial in ever have at some point been a patient. And this question is from a patient. And they don't want to use their name, because it got a little involved and we did a lot of back and forth to get all this research done. But so I've kind of taken lots of emails and squished them down into the part that's the actual question. So this is a billing question. And she says, hi, I think it's a she, I'm not sure. I have a question about reimbursement as a patient with insurance. I had emergency surgery after breaking my wrist in two places. The hospital was in network. The on-call trauma surgeon was not. My insurance is paying my trauma surgeon a very low amount, leaving with me with like $24,000 to pay. Is there some kind of CPT modifier that says this is an emergency, and would that make a difference? I know that the surgeon submitted codes 25290 and 25609, but I don't know what those codes mean. So okay. How would you address that, Paula?
Yeah, this is this, as Pam said, this question went back and forth, and we had lots of discussion. The interesting thing is this individual previously worked in healthcare, just kind of on the periphery, but, you know, knew enough about the codes to know that CPT codes get the claim paid. And so what I did is I recommended, and it was a her, I recommended to her that she review her insurance policy further and to look for those emergency benefits, because she may have coverage for that and the payer may not pay correctly on the first time. Now, if there was no coverage, no emergency coverage, she's going to have to negotiate with the provider. Okay, but let me just give you a story. My story is very similar to this story. And many of you on the call know that I was involved in a really freak accident a while back. But I was in a different state, not in my home state. And my accident was not an auto accident, but it was a random freak accident. So I was struck on the head by a dead branch that fell out of a tree from about 40 feet up. I had multiple injuries, including a broken neck and a broken back, requiring an emergency life transport, helicopter transport to a large trauma facility. And then surgery followed with, you know, several days inpatient stay and then a 4-week inpatient rehabilitation stay. And all of this was out of my home state. So my insurance, immediately as they started getting those bills, they paid the ER bill. But then as they started getting the other bills, they denied the claims because the services happened out of state. Even though the claim, all the claims, or at least the initial claims, were submitted with a diagnosis code to show there was an injury, or multiple diagnosis codes actually, to show there were injury and how the injury happened. So I had to, now here's what happened first. So I get home, I start getting all of these bills from the providers, and they're saying, your insurance is not paying. And I'm talking to these providers, and I'm saying, well, I don't think that's right because this was an emergency. So I dig out my policy, and I look into the fact that my policy stated that my services would be covered and would be paid as though they were performed in-network in an emergency situation. So, what do you think I did? And this is interesting because a lot of people don't know this, and if you don't work in healthcare, I've worked on the billing side, the administrative side, I've worked in the coding side, I've, you know, managed, so I have a lot of knowledge about what's going on in this industry and related to the billing and coding of it. But unfortunately, you think about a lot of our, you know, older generation, they don't get to know all this information. They just get a bill and start paying. But, you know, as I dug in, I then drafted letters to the insurance company and all of my providers asking for a reprocessing of the claims. And I copied the policy language in there. I also copied the insurance commissioner in my state. I did get results with the claims being reprocessed. It took a little bit of back and forth, to be honest. It wasn't just an automatic. And, you know, when you talk to some of the provider offices, now, this is not true for all provider offices, but sometimes, and I just got really frustrated because it was like, okay, they're going to just say, okay, now it's the patient responsibility and not work with the insurance company or dig deeper themselves, because it's way quicker to get the payment from the payer, from the insurance payer, if the patient has it and there is coverage, than, you know, it is from the patient. So the benefit to digging that, you know, acting like a dog with a bone and digging and digging and digging to get your provider paid is huge. So it was unfortunate in my situation. The providers were dunning me, and they weren't willing to take those steps to get it paid. But I did. It took several months, but those claims were paid. Now, in this person's situation, again, if the policy doesn't have language to cover emergencies, then the next step would be, you know, negotiating with the provider. It's better, of course, to know on the front end before you have a surgery that, you know, you're going to need to negotiate a payment plan and a rate. But in this situation, with it being an emergency, that was impossible to do. So I gave her a little information. I said, you know, typically, because, and not even knowing, you know, without looking at what those CPT codes were, not knowing them off the top of my head, I said, typically, right now, you had two procedures reported. And I did go dig in and make sure that they were reported correctly for her. But the second procedure, when if I'm a provider and I am billing an insurance company, that second procedure is typically cut 50% by the payer. And that's okay because that's how it's contracted. So that's a negotiating piece. So can you, will you accept, you know, 50% for the second procedure? The other thing that I noticed in her case is that she had a PA who was assisting with her surgery. And the PA was billed out at the full rates. So that was the other piece I shared with her. I said, you know, with a PA, typically they're going to get only 16 to 30% of what the provider's contracted rate is. So having that piece of knowledge, now you're dealing with a surgeon's office, so they typically are very aware of how the payer rules work. You know, that's another negotiating, you know, piece of information to keep in mind that, you know, anything billed for that PA, you're looking to have it reduced to what their contracts would pay, which would be anywhere between 16 and 30%. And that may help your out-of-pocket be reduced. Now, after further reviewing her policy, and her policy was with, and I'm going to go ahead and state the name, United Healthcare, my policy was with Aetna. At the time of my accident, but with United Healthcare, her contract, her policy said that in the case of an emergency, they would contact the provider and get an agreement with the provider, or they would allow the hire of 110% of the Medicare rate, or they'll tell them how much they pay other, you know, same procedures to other providers in the same area, the same geographic area, and pay the median of that. So there's three different ways her policy could choose to pay it, but it sounds like the way that they did pay it was not the way that her policy said they would pay it. So again, you got to dig into that language. Her policy did also have a maximum non-network reimbursement plan, which really stated to me that they only pay a limited amount for those out-of-network services, and I couldn't find anything to say what that limited amount was, so I told her she needed to check in on that. But, you know, I know that as a patient, there's a lot of digging that can be done, and this was the primary reason that, or well, actually, this was the thing that caused me to think about creating the Revenue Warriors. So with that said, you know, because I got in a situation myself to be a patient, and I had all these issues from a coding standpoint, you know, my claims were coded wrong, they were not paid appropriately, I did not have good follow-through from my providers, it gave me the just the idea that I really needed to create a support group, not necessarily for the patients, but for the providers to talk about how to handle these issues from a provider perspective. How to give you guys or anyone who is a revenue warrior the direct connection to the experts to discuss the day-to-day and what's going on. So let me tell you another story just real quickly. I know we're bumping up against our time, but this weekend my husband was working on some financial matters, and he stopped me, and he's like, I need to tell you this stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I quietly listened. He talked through his long dissertation of his plan of what was going on with the different, you know, finances that he was dealing with. And when he finished, I said, you know, I don't know what you need me to do about it, but I know you needed to talk it out for clarity, so I listened. And, you know, that's one of those benefits of being a revenue warrior. You get someone, you get a direct link to someone either by social media, by email, or by picking up the phone or saying, hey, call me, I have a question. So just right now, just to let you know, we're gearing up for a new year. We're bringing a lot of great stuff in store for those revenue warriors. The doors are currently closed, but you can sign up on the wait list at aqiq.com/start-here-4-revenue-warriors-exclusive-group/. And, you know, get ready to sign up and be a part. So I just wanted to share that information with you. Got a lot of good answers in there. And you know, if you have this kind of a situation, please let us know. We'll try to help you work it out. Also, whether it's you're the patient or whether you're, you know, the provider, and talk it through, because that's what we're here for. Pam?
Yes, that was fascinating to me to watch that process. And I'm guessing that some of you might find that fascinating as well. As detail junkies, we really want to know how to get the correct answer to everything, and so I love that. So anyway, I'm going to repeat the code CWTC40 to get the webinar for $40. Oh, I've got to give away a mug. We have one person who gave their name. Patty, you're the winner. We're going to call you and see where to mail your mug. So thank you for joining us today. Come back in 2 weeks for Coffee with the Coder, episode 55.